this was a great, positive, productive meeting full of a lot of consummate professionals. But there was one very notable absence. I would challenge any single person watching any of these videos and any of these streams to put a face to Skanska.
Alex Andrade yesterday pointing out the obvious elephant not in the room, which is that Skanska has not been a participant in the discussions about the storm, about the bridge timeline for repairs, about ferry service, about compensation for businesses that are tanking in Gulf Breeze or in Pensacola, about people who have lost all kinds of money, had to change jobs, shifted jobs. I mean, just unbelievable, catastrophic consequences for what was done or not done with those barges. And their answer is to clam up, unfortunately. Joining us now, we have Janice Gilley. She is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I do want to say something about Skanska, now that you've mentioned it. I have been contacted. I think I mentioned to you that I met with one of the Skanska representatives. They flew down about within 3 days of the storm. And I asked them to please communicate with our community. And, you know, they decided to take a different tact at that point. And then if you remember, during one of our press conferences after the storm, I specifically said, you know, we need an FDOT or a Skanska representative to come to these press conferences and respond to the community.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, it's taken a while, but the good news is I was contacted again last night by a Skanska representative who has, you know, I happen to know this individual, and I think we are going to start hearing more from them. And, you know, it may be delayed, but at least I think we're going to start hearing something from them and a little bit more from FDOT in regards to this issue.
You know, that's good news. It's unfortunate that they have taken this approach so far. I told folks earlier on the show that about 3 years ago, I spent a good month really trying hard to get somebody from Skanska to come on the show routinely, like every other week, maybe once a month, once a week, whatever, and just be like the project manager who tells people what they're seeing driving over the new bridge as it's being built, just to inform people. And I told him at the time, I said, you want, people have questions, you have answers, it's a great story, and if, you know, God forbid anything ever goes wrong, you'll have a presence in the community. Oh, well, you know, look, so it's unfortunate that they are kind of averse to that. I think you speak into a crisis, you don't go silent. And that's one thing you guys do really well, is you answer these questions and you speak whenever there's a problem. So that's good news. I hope that changes. Just kind of briefly speaking of that, I know you and I often talk about the issue with the possible ferry service and what that might mean. I keep getting very mixed messages on where we stand with this. Do you have a here's where we are right now with the possibility of a subsidized ferry service?
Well, what I would say is that Escambia County Traffic Engineering, Christine Fanchi, and our engineering team did their job, which was they provided a white paper last week, I believe it was on Thursday or Friday, to the Florida Department of Transportation for them to send up the chain to the Federal Highway Administration so that we could pursue funding for that particular project. Since then, we have gotten what I would say, like you said, a lukewarm reception to the idea, which is really disappointing. I'm not blaming the federal government or the Florida Department of Transportation. All I'm saying is that, you know, as we've stated before, you know, this is an opportunity for our community to look at alternative ways of transportation, even during this incident or even for the future.
Yeah.
I am personally aware of a family that lives on the beach that are literally taking their boat every day to Palafox, to the Palafox docks, so that their kid can attend a school in Escambia County, a kindergartner. It's okay. I mean, the families made that decision, but it would be nice if en masse families and workers could make that decision.
Right.
So, you know, I think part of the issue is that it does require a substantial subsidy, and I get that, but I also think that it's an opportunity for us to change the way we look at, you know, transportation in our region. Ferries are managed all over the world. And so, you know, I just think we're missing a huge opportunity if we don't get that subsidy to do this.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, maybe the total volume of people taken across isn't going to make a massive dent in the Garcon Point traffic, but that combined with shifting schedules around, combined with carpooling, you know, every little bit is going to help. And certainly for the people who benefit by saving an hour a day, you know, it's a big benefit to them, as you say, and for those families who don't have access to their own personal boat. You and I have also talked, and we talked quite a bit this last week. I mean, Delta just kind of sort of almost like Sally kind of sprung up on us, and then we were all very worried, and I had Sally in our experience in the background, but it now looks like big sigh of relief. It's not coming anywhere near us, and that's, I mean, how much relief was experienced at the EOC over the last 24 hours when we realized this is not coming here? Yes, we're still prepared, but it's really not coming here.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, I'm going to continue to be cautiously optimistic, because as long as the storm maintains the 15 to 17 miles per hour, we feel pretty confident in the current path. As you know, with Sally, once it slows down, or if a storm slows down and it starts meandering, mm-hmm. and doesn't really have that steering current, that's what would give us concern. You know, and it's one of those, like I said, bittersweet the other day about another situation. You know, where it's sweet for us, but then you know the bitterness that it's going to happen for those people in Louisiana. And yeah. Some of them, if I'm not mistaken, this will be their fourth storm they will be hit by this year. And that has just got to be not only gut-wrenching, but just, it's got to be, you know, soul-crushing.
Yeah. Yeah, and we look at it as, well, we've had our one, and of course for other people, I mean, Texas has had theirs as well. You know, it's like, could we be done with two or three? You know, I agree.
Yeah.
With that. The best prayer I have, and I appreciate you encouraging people to pray the other day. The best prayer I have is for the thing to peter out and do nothing. I mean, that would be, you know, the
I
ideal.
Know.
That would
I
be
know.
The great thing. Hey, Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, hang on for me for just a second. I had a couple other things I wanted to get to with you. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Well, Avalon Boulevard is delayed almost to Mary Kitchens Road now, so do expect about 15 minutes of your time as you get to the end of that delay on over to I-10. Going southbound to Avalon, or on Avalon Boulevard to I-10, not showing any delays there. 9 Mile Road, I-10, I-110, all flowing smoothly along with Mobile Highway and the front gate of NAS Pensacola, showing no delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Now back to Janice Gilley, Escambia County Administrator. On debris cleanup, I know you really accelerated with the possibility of Delta coming and did a lot of low-lying area collection, and you know, that's all very good. One thing I just want to make sure that we tell people, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I've heard you say this, and I believe this to be accurate, there will be an announcement prior to whatever final pass for people's debris is going to happen, right? People will not be, it's not like people are going to wake up next Monday and be like, oh my God, they're done, they picked everything up. It's not going to be like that, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do want to, I'm glad you brought up debris. I'm sure it's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. I want to make sure that people understand. I had a meeting with the three contractors yesterday to just kind of go over a couple of things with them that I'll be sharing with the board this morning. But one of the things that I'm hearing from them is that people have literally stacked debris around a fire hydrant. Well, guess what? These contractors know where the fire hydrants are, their debris monitors know, and they cannot pick that up by law. They can't damage a fire hydrant. So if you or your neighbors have done that, you're going to have to move it from a fire hydrant. If you see, oh, piles have been moved, but this pile hasn't, well, there's a reason, 9 times out of 10. The other thing that we're finding is people have commingled metal and fences and construction debris in with their tree and other vegetative debris. Please, you're going to have to remove that debris from the vegetation. They cannot pick that up either. Unfortunately, you know, it's the piles, as we've mentioned. FEMA has very strict regulations as far as like what we can pick up and how we can pick it up. And so we would just ask you to, you know, reevaluate your piles. If somebody's been by and they haven't picked up your pile, there is a reason. So I would mention that. The other thing I will be talking to the commissioners about today is these gated communities.
Mm-hmm.
So FEMA has already tried to reach out to these 30-something gated communities, and we're either getting no response or voicemails or no contact. And so, and I've got their list of every single community person they contacted related to these gated communities. So I'll be sharing that with the commissioners today so they will know the ones in their district, the contacts that we have. FEMA wants to come and do the evaluation of the gated community and make the determination about us picking up in there, but we're not having any luck getting contacts with the HOA, with their designated contacts. So we're going to be talking about that, and I'm going to send people out to work on that today.
So if you're in a gated community, it's not the county that's failing you. it is somebody
or FEMA.
Yeah, or FEMA. It's mm-hmm. They want to help, they want to take care of you, but there's a process and you have to be a part of it. And so making sure that information gets out, that's going to be an important step. I appreciate you mentioning that. And by the way, just for people who don't get this, the big claw that comes down and picks up that stuff, you don't want that claw anywhere near your phone junction box, your transformer for your power, your cable box, and your fire hydrant. And that's why you got to have debris set in a different place. And each kind of debris is handled differently by a different team, different truck, different drop. And so that's why they can't all be commingled, as you said. That kind of that makes it impossible to collect. So those are all really good notes, and I'm glad you mentioned that for folks. A lot of times, Jens, by the way, the committee of the whole meeting this morning, you and I could spend all morning talking about the things that the commissioners are going to spend all morning talking about. It's really interesting stuff on the agenda, so I encourage people to pay attention this morning starting at 9. We are just about totally out of time. You always often like to ask me a question. Do you have a question for me?
I do. So since you're, like I've always mentioned, a bibliophile, one book every person should read, and you can't say the Bible.
Come on now. I can't think of a can I tell you the honest truth? I don't read books like I used to. I used to voraciously read books. And I just don't read. I read so much other stuff, whether it's Supreme Court opinions or daily news articles all the time. The only books I make time to read anymore are just frivolous, like Tom Clancy novels. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I read. One book that everybody ought. I mean, I'm failing you this morning, and no real great one is coming to mind. I mean, my kids are in school. So I'm thinking of things like Strunk and White, The Elements of Style. That's the kind of stuff that I'm telling.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is, important, but probably not the life-altering kind of thing. Weirdly, I think a lot of people would benefit from reading, like, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, just for money management basics, So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I've given you really awful answers to a great question. But there you go.
Well, then you have a whole week to think about it. You can answer next week.
I'll make it up next week. That's right. I'll do a makeup quiz next week.
And the reason why that was the question is I knew if I asked you about the debate, you were going to say the fly one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's clear. that's clear as a bell. All right. Janice Gillis, she's our Escambia County Administrator. Thanks for joining us this morning, Janice. I know you got a big day ahead of you and a lot of work to be done in addition to what's on the agenda this morning. Thanks for the time.
You too. Bye.